from Washington or the Northwest District, I felt Pastor Calvin from our Salmon Falls Church. We felt that William from the Oregon District would do a great job. So they're going to share the time this morning. Calvin is one of the finest men I've ever met. He's one of the finest pastors I've ever met. He has done some amazing things up at Salmon Falls. They are packed out on Sundays way up in the hills. Lots of people up there. Right across from the camp, when we had that frozen weather and everything was broke and everything, this young man went underneath the floor of the snack shack, which is the oldest building on site. And I didn't know if we'd ever get him back. But he made it, and there's probably not that much room in there. I thought about going, but I thought, that'd be terrible for me to die under there. And you just have to entomb me. But Calvin was such a blessing. And again, he loves his church. He loves his people and is totally devoted to the ministry and the call. So done some really wonderful and interesting things up there too. So Practical Pastoring, Chapter 1, Pastor Calvin Sanders from Salmon Falls.
Set a good example. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed and I are fortunate we are able to work together. It's a proximity relationship, really. We'd probably be friends otherwise, but the church and the camp share a piece of property, so we share practical ministry opportunities. And I really feel in my memory it's going to be this way. I was under the building, and it was full of water, and I was, you know, trying to fix pipes, and I hear Pastor Ed yell down, "Hey, would you like to speak at conference about practical ministry?" That really is where it came from. I really... the podium is mic'd up, Jimmy. You can hit this to make a point. And it's fantastic. A couple things because I like to say what I like to say. Adrian, how do you know someone's a good worship leader? You lead worship, right, quite a bit? You're the primary worship leader. And I've never really been to church there and heard them lead worship. But you know how I know that they have great worship at their church? Because yesterday we came in, and how many of you came in last night and... It was immediately, worship was great. It was the battleground team. Fantastic. But the first person with their hands up, the first person worshiping immediately, like before the song began, a preemptive strike on worship was this man right here. Saw his hands go up, front row. I was like, I bet you he's a great worship leader. Amen. Fantastic. Amen. You have to live what you preach, practice what you preach. And also, Pastor Ed, I'd like to make a motion to remove the word practical from anyone who ever describes anything that anyone in here does towards Christian ministry. This is the least practical thing and idea that I have ever participated with in my life. There's not... a lot of practical things about what we do. It's an impractical job, whether you're a preacher, a teacher, song leader, youth leader, picking music for the worship time. It's quite impractical. And not one day of my life has this ever not been weird. Everything they taught me at Bible college could just be thrown out the window. And I think they did because they used the NIV at that time because it was a brand new translation. And I love spiritual things and I love practical labor. And I have a few things I'd like to argue this morning. And one is that practical and spiritual are the same thing. They're not something that we're going to be able to divide, even though today I was asked to talk about practical things. We're called by God to minister and shepherd the flock. A lot of you have families. You're called by God to minister and shepherd your families. You're called by God to minister and shepherd your communities. You're called by God to minister and shepherd the worshipers, the kids. The spiritual and practical are words that we use to describe different ways that we do the same thing. And we're trying to reach the same goal, and that is to minister and shepherd the flock of God, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is done through fasting, prayer. This is also done through fixing pipes under the church. Whatever gets us to the goal. But I actually find that the practical aspects of ministry, it's the labor that has become the backbone of shepherding. I'll tell you why. David was a good shepherd. King David liked to sing songs, dance in the fields, I imagine, pray, be very fancy. But his real shepherding was killing the bear and killing the lion. That was the backbone of what he did. He had to legitimately work to protect the sheep. He worked. When the ice storm hit a few weeks ago, which was really fun. How many had good time during the snow and ice storm in the Portland area? By the way, it's raining in Portland, so we're having a great time. At least Washougal's cloudy. I know not everybody... Did it?
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Did somebody tell me that? Fantastic. Well, we're having a good time now. The drive here yesterday was amazing, depending on where you came from. But the ice storm came, and Pastor Ed called me and said, you know, I think what we should do is just shut the whole system down. Because our church is on the same system as the camp, and so he's usually nice enough to ask. So I thought, that seems like a wise idea. It's going to be cold, and we might lose power, and we just weren't sure, and we didn't have church, and I didn't need to use the building that week, so let's just shut the whole thing down. It seemed wise. So we turned the power off. I went there, turned the water off, turned the system off, shut everything down. Then the snowstorm came, and the ice, and the wind blew, and we waited a few weeks, and that Sunday we didn't have service. Didn't have power at the building. It was super cold and icy. And when it all blew over, it warmed back up, and all the neighbors had lost their water. Like, all of them had lost water, power, pipes had burst. So I met Pastor Staten at the camp to turn the water system back on. And I was just feeling like he's so wise to have the whole thing shut down. And I even said to him, we were talking to each other. It got borderline patting each other on the back. I was like, this was the right thing to do. We probably saved ourselves a bunch of trouble. And he's reaching for that valve. Turned the pump back on. And when he turned it like a quarter of a turn, the whole thing just goes boom. It was like a car hitting a fire hydrant, spraying. And he was trying to fix it. And I was going for my phone to try to get some video. I really was. This is going to be... I wasn't quick enough to get that explosion. It was a fun couple of days. But we got it fixed. Pastor Ed does work very hard practically out there. And he sends younger ministers under the building. We don't throw people under the bus around here. It's the snack shack. He was passing tools through the vent on the side of the building because I couldn't crawl back to the... It was too... I was like, it's fine. I'm fine. How many in the name of ministry for your family, your church, otherwise have done ridiculous things that you could get up here and tell stories and we could all tell how we're... finding creative solutions to ridiculous things in the name of Jesus for the kingdom of God, for the expansion of his kingdom. I once shoveled cow manure for a week on someone's farm in our church. They just had an emergency situation. And I bring it up because every once in a while, something will happen spiritually or otherwise, someone will come into the church and have an agenda, if you will, or the enemy will come in and start to speak lies of discouragement. And if the ministry was preaching to youth that wanted to listen, having kids' classes where all the kids behaved, and preaching where everybody got saved every week, I'm not sure I would have the backbone that I have after shoveling manure and crawling under buildings and doing ridiculous things in the name of God. So when somebody comes in with a different agenda other than worshiping Jesus and minding their manners, or again, I really feel when the enemy comes in and he starts to lie discouragement, I have no time for this. I have shoveled too much cow manure in my life to have any time. And there are things that I will show you in Scripture that David did not have time for. I have killed a lion. I have killed a bear. I do not have time. Brother Hahn, can you stand up? It's just going to be for fun. I do not have time for the tall man standing in the field. Thank you. Here's my Goliath example. The labor is often the backbone of our ministry. We can pray all we want, but the nails must be hammered. The air conditioning must be fixed. The buildings must be constructed. Get people in the house of God. I can't tell you anything you don't already know about creative ministry. I'd love to tell you about our church, how interesting it is having a church out in the woods and trying to get people to think of that as a viable option for going to church. We get some people that go to church. We got a new family during the ice storm. This happens because they couldn't get into their big church in town. They were stuck, so they had to walk. And then they're like, is it always like this? I was like, there's like 20 people. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, everyone loves each other? They're like, they were so hungry for it. We didn't do nothing. That was just, it was fun. It's the practical aspects of pastoring that are going to bring spiritual victory and please the heart of Jesus. If you want glory in your life, if you want glory at your church, God's glory, we just need to do what Jesus has assigned to us to do. And John chapter 19, if you have your Bible. When am I finished, Pastor Ed? 11:15?
Just a little before that.
Okay. 11:14. Really got to pace it out. On Sundays, I can preach as short as long as I want. There's nobody to tell me otherwise, but I come here and everybody's my boss. Practical ministry. How many know the clock's always in charge? Pastor John doesn't know that. I was texting Dad last night pictures of a few folks from Sutherland, and Brother Jeff, he said he loves you guys, and he apologizes for stealing your 25-minute preacher. That's what he said. Apologize for stealing your short preacher. I was like, so rude. John 19:27 is a pretty serious scripture. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus was dying on the cross. He looked at his disciples and he said, behold your mother. In a very short couple of words, he was instructing his disciples that this woman was now in their care. You go take care of her. I want you to notice very clearly that Jesus did not ask them to fast and pray for his mom. That would have been ridiculous. He didn't ask them to remember his words. He wasn't talking about the work of the Holy Spirit or how to entertain angels. He was saying, take care of my mom. My family is your family, and you take care of her, you feed her, you watch out for her. Practical ministry is assigned by Jesus and is not differentiated as being less important than spiritual ministry. That was Jesus' mom, and she needed to be taken care of. And believe you me, you can also find in Scripture that his disciples did not reply, okay, we'll pray for her. James 2:18 says, show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do. You can act spiritual, but I'm going to show you spirituality through some labor. Good. On that icy Sunday, the first one that was real snowy and icy, I got up in the morning and checked the church, and the church doesn't, I can check it from my house through my phone. Church doesn't have power. It's freezing out. There's snow, wind. And so we don't like to cancel church, but there was just no way that I could get to the building or anyone could get to the building. And so my first instinct was, we have video. I mean, you guys have video service now in some way, live video, recorded video. We have video now. And so I was really excited. I thought, I'm going to get a little team that lives in town together. I'll get my mom and dad down here. Maybe my our youth pastor lives in town. And we'll do a little video, like a real nice church video, so folks can go to church this week, even though they're stuck in their homes. And then I thought, I bet you that wouldn't go over that well. There's no power at people's houses. They're not going to get it till like Tuesday. And it was a real disaster. People were picking trees off their lawn, and we had people that like got cars smashed, and folks that didn't have water for several weeks. And I thought, well, I like the idea, but we have some old folks. I can't even call them. Phone lines were down. So I called a few people in town that have some four-wheel drive vehicles, some youth that we thought it would be fun, and we went to all the folks that live where they can't get out of their houses. And we took Jeeps. We had to park at the tops of hills, hike into canyons. We sent a couple young men into a canyon. I sent them with water and a propane heater. And they get to the bottom of the canyon, and the old folks that lived there could not get out of their house. They didn't have power. Their generator broke. They didn't have water. This was 3 weeks ago. They were waiting to die. Except on Sunday morning, we decided, let's not fast and pray for the church. Let's not make a cool spiritual video of an excellent sermon on, you know, what to do in the storm. Let's just go to people's house. We went to their house. Sure, and I've preached probably literally 1,000 sermons at this point. I've never seen people cry like those people when they open the door and somebody's there with food, water, and a heater. They thought they were left to die. And this happened with several families. And I believe since then, it's only been a few weeks, but we've had a kind of spiritual breakthrough at our church when people realize they're taken care of. That, yeah, we're there to worship the Lord. Yeah, it's okay if we die. We're going to go to heaven. But while we're here, we're being taken care of. We have an obligation to take care of people. In fact, the spiritual breakthrough is, I think, perhaps the most important thing. Scripture is full of miracles where somebody prayed, fasted, prayed, some spiritual thing, and from that, practical needs got met. So feeding the 5,000. Jesus is going to feed the 5,000 people. They were all there. Everybody's hungry. There was no practical ministry there. There was no team set up. Wouldn't that be great? If you put out, instead of putting out Sunday morning cookies, you just prayed and the Sunday morning cookies just showed up. And there was 12 basketfuls left for the leadership. There always is for me. I'm last out of the church on Sunday just so I can take home all the cookies that's left. Well, Jesus prays. He prays and blesses the food. Breaks the food. It's very spiritual. I want this in my life. I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to break bread at communion time and have it just multiply. What we miss in Scripture is that there are several times in the Bible, I encourage you to try to find some more, where it happens in reverse, where somebody's working And spiritual breakthrough happens on its own. Somebody's laboring for Jesus, for the cause of the kingdom of God, and somewhere along the line, them working is what brings the breakthrough. They're meeting needs, and suddenly miracles start happening. I believe it's not just about continuing. What's changed in my life since Pastor Ed asked me to talk about this is I was praying about this. It's not just the labor, because I work. You already work. You're already working a lot. It's that now I believe that that work is going to bring spiritual breakthrough. It's not just that it exists in the Bible, not just that, that I've noticed this. It's that, no, I believe it now. Like when I pray, when you lay hands on somebody and you're praying for their marriage or you're praying for their illness or whatever we're praying, we're really like trying to stir up faith in our life. I'm going to try to stir up faith and I really believe extra hard. No, I believe extra hard when I'm doing labor, whenever I have a work assignment, whenever you're scheduling, making a schedule for people to not follow that you have to change every week anyways. You're trying to make the worship schedule. Here's the songs that nobody wants to sing. Listen. No, I have a good time. I believe when I do that, when we do that, when you do that, when you're just raising your kids and you're putting their coats on, we're doing the work. No, I'm believing that there is spiritual breakthrough in this. If you want to make it spiritual, the fact of the matter is, God works through faith. It's not just the labor. It's the labor plus I believe that something is going to happen when I labor. Yes. God is not going to assign something to your life and your care without attaching spiritual breakthrough to it. Spiritual breakthrough is coming to all the assignments of God. If he has given you an assignment, it will have spiritual breakthrough attached to it. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Apologize to Pastor Hahn. This is the David and Goliath story now. I feel old. I've known Pastor Hahn my whole life. Enough to call him pastor, I guess. I've never called you Wes before. Feel uncomfortable. I grew up with his kids. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 36. And your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. David was a shepherd. Watched the sheep. I like to imagine David out there praying a lot. Learned to play the harp. Right? Any of you worship leaders study the life of David? Where did he learn to play instruments? Probably out there with the sheep. No David experts. Somewhere he learned. Praying. We know he was a prayer. We know he was a weird dude because once he was king, you know, he had all kinds of strange praying habits. David said, I meditate day and night. Seven times a day I will rise to give thanks to your holy name. That guy was praying a lot. I was talking to Eddie about meditation last night. I love talking about spiritual things. You know, that's fine with me. We can talk about David and his meditation. But he said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. Now there's a tall dude out in the field. Seems to be a problem. I've gotten pretty good with my sling. So David is shepherding. He's lion comes, kills it with his slingshot, goes back to his little prayer time, goes back to his little following the sheep around. Lion comes along, bear comes along, kills him with a slingshot. But this whole time, there is a spiritual problem with Israel. There's a stronghold that has an absolute lockdown. There's a stronghold on our culture. The strongholds in areas of our church, areas of our own lives, areas of our families. We're praying for our children to be saved, our grandchildren to be saved. There's a spiritual stronghold on some of these places. There was a spiritual stronghold on Israel. They were not moving forward. They were assigned to defeat the Philistines. And they were sitting. Whose job was it to kill the Philistines? There's a million soldiers out there not doing the work, not doing their job. Goliath is a tall dude in the field. They could have just ran him over. I'm sure you've heard a lot of, you probably preached sermons on David and Goliath and why they stood there like, you know, dummies. Just, what are they waiting for? They're waiting because there's a spiritual problem. It's not a physical problem. God's given them the victory. It's not a mental problem. They know, hey, what are we doing? They just have a spiritual problem. How do we break a spiritual problem? Who's fasting? Who's praying? Nobody. David's out there in the field with a slingshot, killing a lion, killing a bear. He shows up on the battlefield, and he's like, killed a lion, killed a bear. He's in work mode. You ever get in work mode where you're just like, you're still working Sunday morning? You're supposed to preach, but you're just picking up trash up and down the aisles. David's in work mode. He shows up, and he's like, there's a tall guy in the field. Here's the flock of God. Standing there, doing nothing, and there's a threat. And I'm very good with my slingshot. I'm going to be very good with my slingshot on that guy's forehead. And no wonder he runs at Goliath, strikes down Goliath. And you don't get a story like he did with the sheep, where with the sheep, he kills the lion and the lion's dead. And he's like, ha, the lion's dead. And the sheep are like, bah. They don't, you know, what level of disinterest the sheep have. And he kills the bear. And the sheep are there, and he's like, well, I guess he probably had a bear coat at that point. I would like a bear coat. A necklace with the claws of the bear and the teeth of the lion. Sheep are disinterested. But when he killed Goliath, what happened? The armies of Israel suddenly woke up and routed the Philistines, ran them off the plains, ran them out of their territory. Spiritual breakthrough occurred the moment somebody did the work that they were assigned to do. And for David, it was right in pattern. Kill the lion, kill the bear, kill the tall guy in the field. No problem. I'm just doing work. I'm just laboring. But he had the heart of God, and the heart of God was protect the sheep. This was the assignment of God. David did plenty of praying, and so he knew the heart of God. And he could call out the Philistine and say, listen, God will help me. It's not a problem. Joshua chapter 6. Israel was marching, going on a little march. What are we doing today? We're marching. Can we pray? You can just march. Next day they wake up. What are we doing today? We're going to march. That doesn't sound fun. And you got to keep in step too. And you're on the desert. We're going to march. Should we do something spiritual? Maybe we could fast and pray. Nah, we're going to march. We're going to march. Day two, marching. Day three, marching. Anybody know what happened on day four? Marching, yeah. Day five. Day six. Day seven. A lot of marching. We're going to march seven times. I don't know. Some of the people in Israel probably didn't know what was going to happen. They're just told, march, you know? Only the leaders kind of had a little insight of what God was doing, or they guessed, you know, prophetically that God said, I'm going to do this, and so you got to believe God that, hey, I've been assigned to labor. God told us he'd give us breakthrough if we march, so we're going to march. And we march, and they walk, and they walk. And I don't know how big the city is, but I don't even like walking around the mall very bad at this point. Appreciate being called young, but I don't like walking that much. Everything's too far. That's why Pastor Ed sits in the front row. So it's just not such labor. It's not such labor. So they walk around the building because God told them, that's the labor I want you to do. And the walls came down by themselves. No striking the wall, no hitting the wall. It would have been inappropriate to try to knock the wall down. They were worshiping. They weren't doing all the things we might consider spiritual, except they were obeying God and doing the work, and the walls fell on their own. I don't know what you're doing at your churches, in your youth groups, in your music ministry, in your families, at your schools, in your culture. In our government, we think about praying for our government. I don't know what we're doing in our own personal lives. I only know what I'm doing. But no longer do I do any of the labor thinking that this is not as fun and I'm going to really have a good sermon this week and I'm going to have a good prayer time and I'm trying to avoid the labor. I'm trying to avoid getting underneath buildings. No, I love it. We're going to love it. And I want us to believe that there is breakthrough in that. If we start believing there's breakthrough in both, it's not just the joy of the labor, it's the breakthrough. God is wanting to bring breakthrough in different areas of our lives. We are a spiritual people. And there is breakthrough when we pray, and there is breakthrough when we fast, and there is breakthrough when we study, and there is breakthrough if you pick up a shovel, if you're cleaning a parking lot on Sunday morning. There is spiritual breakthrough in all these areas, and we are going to see it in areas we've never seen it, because God has already called us to it. You're already doing it, and all that's left is to have faith for that. In Jesus' name. All right. Let's pray real quick. I'll have Pastor Ed come back. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. It's your word. I pray for breakthrough for churches that need it in Jesus' name. For families, there are parents here believing for their children, and they have been praying and they've been laboring, and sometimes it's putting food on the table and just having dinner. There's little work that goes into all these things, and it is going to be breakthrough. And we will not listen to the lies of the enemies that discourage us in our churches, our homes, our governments, our communities. Lord, breakthrough is coming for the house of God. In Jesus' name, if you received that this morning, say amen. 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 All right.